Thank you, Lord. Well, why don't you lift your hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name? What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth adore. Even angels bow before Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Network Television, Pastor E.A. Adebuwe, delivering the word with passion and power.
To God. Hallelujah. Thank God for mothers. Let us pray.
I will praise Him from everlasting,
everlasting to everlasting.
I will praise Him from everlasting,
everlasting to everlasting.
I will praise Him
from everlasting.
Jesus is Lord from everlasting,
everlasting to everlasting.
I will praise Him. Jesus is King from everlasting,
everlasting to everlasting.
I will praise Him
from everlasting,
everlasting to everlasting. Let us praise Him.
Just go ahead and praise Him. Praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. From everlasting to everlasting. Praise Him. Remoko shindra makotundi rimaka kandi rimoko tundi. Ine ramamamaka shindi rimoko tundi. Ine rimoko tundi rimaka shindi rimoko tundi rimaka shindi. And we magnify your holy name. Remoko shindi remoko rundi remoko shindi remoko rundi remoko shindi. Ekaro mundi remoko rundi remama mama maka shindi remoko tundi remoko rundi. Thank you, Jesus. Remoko rundi remama maka shindi remoko. Thank you, Father. Eternal Rock of Ages, we want to bless your name. We will praise you. From everlasting to everlasting, we will praise you. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you for keeping us in you. Thank you for the home that is waiting for us in heaven. Thank you that one day we shall see you. And when we see you, we shall be like you. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. My Father and my God, today we are rejoicing with your Son. And it is in your name that we are decreeing that as he's beginning a new milestone in his life, you will give him a new beginning of joy. Amen. A new beginning of blessings. Amen. Fresh anointing from heaven. Amen. A new beginning of revelations. Amen. Of power. Amen. Of purity. Amen. Of holiness. Amen. Of a closer walk with you. Amen. Father, let it be well with him. Amen. Meet all his needs. Amen. Surprise him. Amen. Embarrass him with your blessings. All those who wish him well, let it be well with them. All those who are praying for them, for him today, pray for them, Lord. Lord, prosper this ministry. Take this ministry to the next level. Let your name be glorified. And Lord, everybody here today, give them an anniversary miracle. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Let somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Hebrews 13 verse 8. I'm sure you know it offhand. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. In mathematics, which is the area where I did a little bit of study, we have what we call the set of variables. When we say something is a variable, we mean it can change. It can change. You know, something like height. If we are to take the heights of people here, you will know height is a variable. It changes from fellow to fellow. The same thing with weight. Not only is the weight of people a variable, the weight of one fellow can be a variable. depending on whether you are young or you are middle-aged or you are old, depending on whether they pay your salary on time. And of course, age is a variable. It varies from people to people. Wealth is a variable. Even the word of God says that the poor will never cease out of the land. That means some people will be richer than others. And then we have what we call the set of variable constants. In other words, they are supposed to be constant, but they still vary. For example, the number of teeth in an adult's mouth is supposed to be 32. Constant. But if we check our mouths now, you will know some have 32, some have 20. So you see, it's a variable constant. And whether you believe it or not, the word of God is a variable constant. Because even though Psalm 119 verse 89, Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." But when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, God said to Eli, he said, "I said indeed that you and your father's house will stand before me all the days of your life." He said, "But now I say, be it far from me." No, I said it. My word is forever settled, but I retain my sovereignty. And now I can say to you, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. So he said, if you follow certain conditions, then my word will be constant. you will do certain things, I will show you that I made the law and I can change the law. And there's nobody who can query me. So we have what we call the variable constant. And then we have what we call the set of constants. These are constants that are constant. Like, for example, you are supposed to have only one life. Everybody has one life. And no matter how rich you are, you can only ride one car at a time. You are supposed to at least to sleep on one bed per night. Of course, if you can build a house with 39 rooms and spend 10 minutes in one room and move to another, at the end of which they will take you tomorrow, I'm sure. But then, of all the constants, we have what we call the constant of constants. The one that is so constant, there's nothing that can change it. And number one of this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Age can be a variable. 10 years ago, my son was 40. Now, he's 50. If the Lord tarries, in another 10 years, he'll be 60. That's variable. But Jesus remains constant. Yesterday, today and forever. He said in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. So I want to share with you, sir, just for a moment, and of course, with the church as a whole, about the constancy of God, about the constancy of Jesus Christ. Because as we grow older, certain things begin to beset our minds. There are some thoughts that will begin to come by the time you are 50 that were not there before. When you are 50, you know that you have started the second half of the match. And so it's time to begin to think a little more about the final place. So certain things begin to come. By the time you are 50, you have seen so much. You begin to have doubts about friendship, doubts about companionship, doubts about this and that. And I have the greatest pleasure to assure you that Jesus is constant. He's constant in love because he's love himself. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. 1 John 4 verse 8. He said, God is love. And I want you to know he will be your friend till the end. John 13 verse 1, John 13 verse 1 says, in loving his own, he loved them till the end. Friends change. You must have discovered that by now. They change. You might not change towards them, but they will change towards you. That's one is a certainty. Like I was sharing with some of my children the other day, I said, the Lord prayed all night and chose 12 disciples. And one of them happened to be Judas Iscariot. And people have asked the question, did Jesus make a mistake? No. The truth of the matter is that everybody needs a Judas Iscariot. At least one. Someone who will push you to your destiny. You need at least one friend who will disappoint. So don't let that bother you, because they will surely come. Friends will fail, but Jesus will not. So take hold of that one. Then number two is constant in companionship.
In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, Hebrews 13 verse 5, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't need to begin to tell you that there might be occasions when you feel lonely. That's automatic. And it will come. Man, at that moment, just remember there is a friend who is by your side 24/7. He will say, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 121 verse 5, he said, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. You cannot shake him off. Everywhere you go, he's there. And believe me honestly, he's all you need. It's the only companion that you really need. I'm sure you probably have heard me tell the story before of three fishes. I call them fishes because they are of different species. Because I know there are people here who want to check my grammar. I said, should I have said three fish? Three fishes. So there were these three fishes, and they were swimming about in the ocean. And in the ocean there were two sharks, one mother shark, one baby shark. And the sharks were terrorizing the fish in the ocean. So one day the three fishes called a prayer meeting. They said to the Lord, Lord, please come, we need to talk. And the Lord came and said, what do you want? The first fish said, I want eyes all over my body. And the Lord said, what do you need eyes all over your body for? He said, so I can see these sharks long before they see me, and so I can escape. Okay, the Lord said, if that's what you want, you have your request. And immediately, every scale on his body became an eye. And so you could see the fish, beautiful thing, eyes all over. And so he turned to the second fish, and what's your request? That one said, I want a pair of wings. What do you need a pair of wings for? So that if these sharks begin to pursue me, I fly out of the ocean. Okay. If that's what you want, you receive it. So he talked to the third fish and said, what do you want? He said, my request is that wherever I go, you go with me. That's all I want. And the Lord said, fine. So the Lord left. And soon after the Lord left, the sharks were hunting. And they saw the fish with many eyes. And, what a beautiful fish. Let's go for this one. And the little fish said, I've already seen you. And he swam towards the beach. And because it has so many eyes, he saw a little pool of water on the beach, in the sand. He made one big effort and jumped out of the ocean and landed in that little pool of water. And then began to laugh at the sharks. Hey, come and get me now if you can. But soon, the sun rose and the little pool of water dried up. And the fish with many eyes died. Now when the sharks found that they have lost the first fish, they turned to pursue the second one. And that one saw them coming and flew out of the ocean and began to laugh and say, hey, you come and get me up here. But soon after that, an eagle was flying overhead and looked down and said, Almighty God, I didn't know you are this good. I have always wanted to eat fish, only I couldn't swim. And now you have brought one to me in my domain. So the second fish ended in the stomach of the eagle. And then the baby shark said to the mother, there's a third one here. Let's go and get this one. It doesn't even seem to be afraid of us. Let's go after him. And the mother shark said to the baby shark, he said, are you blind? Can't you see that wherever that fish is going, there's the shadow of a man following him? Yeah, if you go after that fish, the man whose shadow you see will kill you. The Lord is your shade. Yes. On your right hand. Yes. He will be with you, sir. Yes. He will be your companion. Yes. is constant in support. Human beings, because of their very nature, can only support you up to a certain level. After that one, they get tired. Even when they want to support you to the very end, certain things will happen that will make it impossible for them. For example, I've said it, if somebody wants to promote you, if a human being wants to lift you high, how high he can take you is determined by his own height. How high I can lift this tambourine is determined by how tall I am. If I want, I can go on my toes, but after some time, my leg will be paining me and I will go back. And when I go down, this thing is already coming down. After some time, my hands will get weary, and very soon, the tambourine will come down. But when it is the Almighty God promoting you, his arms are everlasting arms. If he's the one promoting you, the sky is not even your limit. And not only can he take you to heights that you can't dream of, he never gets tired. So if he keeps you up, you remain up. That's why he said in Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, he said, and you shall be head and not the tail. You'll be above only. In other words, with his own support, you can never become an ex-champion. Never. So when you begin, because I remember the time when the Redeemed Center of God was about this size. And suddenly the devil began to talk to me and say, you think you can maintain this? Do you think things will continue like this? What's going to happen? I mean, you are expanding your auditorium, expanding. Can't you see cathedrals abroad that are now empty? Don't you know how terrible it will be if people come and they say, once upon a time, this auditorium used to be full? Don't listen to him. There is somebody who can make you the undefeated champion. And he will keep you there. You remember 1 Kings chapter 19, from verse 4 to 8. 1 Kings 19, verse 4 to 8. There was a time when Elijah, that mighty man of God, was low. It's nothing strange if you suddenly find yourself feeling a bit low. He was so low that he asked the Almighty God to kill him. God, let me go now. I've tried my best. Let me go before things got spoiled. The Almighty God said, I don't bury my wounded. I feed them. I re-energize them. So I have good news for you, sir. Your tomorrow is going to be all right. Yeah. And God is constant in provision. There's always that tendency. When we begin to get to a certain age, you see, when the man is young, because of strength, physical strength, he doesn't even think much about tomorrow. He believes he can handle anything that comes, I deal with it. But when you begin to get to an age when you can't run as you used to run, you know, when we were young, and you see a car by the signboard there where it says Jesus is Lord, and this is the road, you dash across the road, you know he can't catch you. But when you get to a certain age, and the car is half a kilometer away, and you are holding a small boy, and the boy says, Papa, let's cross. He says, let that car pass first. Because suddenly, you know, the legs are no longer responding the way they used to respond. But let me assure you, sir, that there is a God who will always provide. The Bible says in Philippians 4 verse 19, it said, my God shall supply. Not may, shall. That's for sure. Shall supply how much of your needs? All. I told people, if you get to that stage where your teeth can no longer eat beef, God will supply fish. He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And don't ever forget, according to Genesis 17 verse 1, He said, "Is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough." He will always be more than enough. And I think I've shared before, you know, when I was studying the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, the choir presented so brilliantly again this morning. In verse 5, he said, "Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And I asked the Lord, "Daddy, this just between the two of us. When you were filling the cup of David and the cup was full, why didn't you stop? Why the wastage?" You see, because when the cup is running over, that's excess now. And the Lord said, "I just want the boy to know that there is much more from where this is coming from." So there's no possibility of God running out of supplies. Never. And I can tell you that from my own personal experience, that is true. Years ago, when we were much, much smaller than we were, and we were building the first auditorium at the camp, and that first auditorium, which we thought was a giant project, was 100 meters by 50 meters. And at a stage, we needed 204 naira to continue the work. The carpenter came to me and said, "Daddy, we need 204 naira to buy nails to continue the work." And I said, I will send for you when I have it." He said, "What?" I said, "I will send for you when the money comes to my hand." And I could hear him grumbling as he was going away. He's the one now who will say, "We are not hurrying up. Now we ask for money, he's not giving." He thought I had the money. And there was not a single naira in my pocket. And I was undertaking that huge, it was huge project there. So I said to the Almighty God, I said, "You had him all. It's not my house that they are building. It's your house. So you are the one he's complaining about. If you had given me the money, I would have given it to him." And I had prayed all night. So I was tired. After he left, I just fell asleep in my office there. When I woke up, there was a man sitting by my door, eating his breakfast. I said, this man's problem must be big. He's sitting at the door to say, "Well, I know you are sleepy, but how you will get out of here without attending to me, we will see." So I said, "Sir, how can I help you?" He said, "Okay, now you are awake. What's your problem?" He said, "I have no problem." He said, "I just collected my house rent. And God spoke to me and said, I should take the money to you." And I said to the Lord, "Okay, I will do so. May I eat my breakfast first?" And the Lord said, "No, take the money now." He said, "So well, I brought my breakfast. When I got there and I found you sleeping, I said, thank God. He's sleeping, I can eat." And he gave me an envelope. I blessed him and he left. And those who know me know that I don't open envelopes in the presence of the giver. So they won't know whether I'm disappointed or I am shocked. Glory be to God. So I blessed him and he left. And when he left, I opened the envelope and inside was 1,200 naira. Oh. So I sent to the carpenter. I said, "How much do you say you need?" I'm prophesying to somebody here today. For the rest of your life, all your needs will be abundantly met. Let me round up it, because I'm sorry, I wish I had a longer time to spend. But sir, I want you to know that Your tomorrow is secure. I know that your tomorrow is secure because he said in his word in Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10. Isaiah 3 verse 10, he said, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. And I've always said that the one who can say to me and make a statement, and the statement will have any effect, I will have to examine his background, his position, his power. If you lie on the hospital bed and the cleaner came by your bed and said, don't worry, you are going home today, you know that fellow is just wishing you well. But if the chief surgeon comes around, looks at what they used to attach to the bed of the leg of the bed, and say, oh, okay, get ready, in another 1 hour you'll be on your way home, you know you'll be on your way home. Now the one who said, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, is the one who is Alpha and Omega, the one who knows the end from the beginning. And he's saying to you now, sir, and he's saying to everyone who wish you well, that your tomorrow will be alright. I will just tell you a story and then I will close. I was approaching my 60th birthday about 4 years ago now, a little over 4 years. And I was worried. Now everybody was getting ready to celebrate. But I was deeply troubled. I was deeply troubled because I know my assignment. I know what God gave me to do. I know why I came into this world. And those of you who are here today, if you don't know yet your purpose for coming, God will reveal it to you. Yeah. And each time I read Joshua chapter 13 verse 1, I always feel concerned. The Bible said Joshua was old. And the Almighty God said to Joshua, Joshua, now you are old, and there's yet much land to be possessed. Which is another way of saying, Joshua, you have failed. Many of us think Joshua is a success, but God said, look, you are old. The assignment I gave to you is uncompleted. And I said, Lord, I just was going around the camp at night, praying and sobbing in my spirit, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to be 60 and I'm nowhere near half of what you want me to do. God, help me. The sun is setting. And God answered and said, son, I decide when the sun will set. I hope that will minister something to you, sir. God said, I decide when the sun will set. And I thank the Almighty God. I say this to his glory and with all humility. What he has done in the past 4 years is more than he had done in the past 21 previous years of my ministry. I want you to leave your tomorrow in his hand. He will take care. When he says, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well, it means tell him, and I'm telling you now, your tomorrow will be alright. Let me conclude. So our God is constant in love, is constant in friendship, is constant in companionship, is constant in support, constant in provision, constant in taking care of our future. But believe me honestly, it's also constant in holiness. He doesn't change with age. And there are some of you younger generation who think that those of us who are hammering holiness are old-fashioned. We're as old-fashioned as God. Do you know God has never changed his dress? He was wearing light at the beginning. He's still wearing light now. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it is computer age or internet age or whatever age you want to call it, he's still constant. And he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He will not compromise that. Oh, I've seen a lot of young people who will run away from one church to another where they don't talk about holiness. Let me tell you the truth. It doesn't matter how many miracles may be happening there. If you do not live holy, you will go to hell. Including the pastor who is leading you. That is the truth. The word of God is settled. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He said, "Without holiness, no man shall see God." No man. It doesn't matter what title. Whether you call yourself evangelist or pastor or bishop or apostle, he didn't say title. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Listen, he said he's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without any form of blemish. And I'm going to share this with you. Some of you probably have heard me share it before. But I'm sharing it because, listen, this church is my church. Your pastor is my son. And I have a duty. The same duty I have for the Redeemed Christian Church of God is the same duty I have for the Fountain of Life. I don't want just to see you many here on earth and not see you in heaven. That is what, I mean, if it were another church, today we will be talking about happy message. We will be shouting and shouting until I go. But the way you treat your own children is different from the way you treat other people's children. I've said it again and again. When I'm meeting somebody for the first time, "How are you, sir? God bless you, sir. Everything is fine, sir." Those who are close to me, they know I don't treat them like that. You know why? Because where I'm going is where I want them to go. And I want to see you in heaven. I'll tell you this story. Years ago, we had a small campground in Ekwe, not this present one. And we were going to develop it. We were very small. We were going to develop it to be using it for programs. And we decided to dig two pit latrines, one for men and one for women. And there was this surveyor who accepted the contract. And we agreed that this thing is to be 60 feet long. We were using feet in those days. 60 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet deep. And we agreed on the price. Then we got to the site. And he began to measure the ground. And instead of measuring in feet, he measured in meters. And the Spirit of God said to me, "Correct him." I said, "No, Lord." He said, "Correct him." I said, "He's a surveyor. If he's a surveyor and he doesn't know the difference between meters and feet, let him pay the price." And God kept quiet. So he measured the first one, 60 meters, and 4 meters, and so on. I said nothing. Then we got to where we were going to put the second one, because the ladies had to be a bit far away from the men. And he began to measure again, and the Spirit of God said, "Correct him." I said, "No, Lord. I don't know which university he attended. If he doesn't know the difference between meter and feet, maybe it is even meters that he asked me to pray for." And God kept quiet. After he finished, there was this huge Hausa man. You know, he brought some Hausa men to do the digging for him. There was this huge Hausa man. He was a professional digger. And his hand is like iron. And he smiled at me and said, "Megida, And I want to be, you know, a pleasant pastor. So I stretch out my hand to shake his hand. And as soon as he got my hand, he began to squeeze. And I'm telling you, it's like iron squeezing my bone. It was crushing my bone. And Lord, why? And the Lord said, I told you to correct him. I'm sorry, Lord, I will do so. And he released my hand. So I corrected the man. But by now, my hand was burning like fire. And I mean real burning. And as I was going back to the car, I was talking, Lord, but the punishment is too much for the offense. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I told you you are special to me. I will tolerate no nonsense. Fountain of life, you're special to the Almighty God. And he will tolerate no nonsense. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And is constant in holiness. Let's bow our heads, please. Any of you here today who have not given his or her life to Jesus Christ, or you are in church, you have been playing church, pretending that you're a child of God, and you are not. You're living in sin, and you think God is not paying attention. Let me tell you the truth. When he grabs you, you will know that even though his love is also the consuming fire. So every one of you out there or in here who is not yet thoroughly born again, every one of you not yet living holy, I give you 3 minutes. I'm going to count from 1 to 7. Before I say 7, I want you to be standing in front of me here to come and call on the Almighty God for the salvation of your soul. So everywhere you may be, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, or you claim you are born again and yet you are still living in sin, run forward now as I begin to count. 1, 2. Come from everywhere. Keep all doors open. Let them come. Let them come from everywhere. This is your day of salvation. The Lord is not joking with you. He's a wonderful God, but he's a constant God. He's a very good friend, but he's a very, very terrible enemy. Come. Come and give your life to him now. 3. Hurry up. Come and join those who are already in front here. Come from wherever you are. Come inside. I want to pray with you here. I want you to come and surrender your life to the Almighty God. Come and talk to him about genuine salvation. I'm not talking about you being in church. You might have been coming to church for years, but there have been no changes in your life. You better come now and surrender your life to him. 4. Five. You better hurry up if you know you are coming. This is the last countdown now. This is a day of mercy. This is a day of salvation. Come. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things must pass away. All things must become new. If you say you are a Christian and you are still living like you have been living before, something is wrong. Come and give your life to Jesus. Let him save your soul. Let him save your soul. Hurry up. 6 now. Come from everywhere. Come and surrender your life to him. And those of you in front, begin to talk to the Almighty God. Ask him, save my soul, O Lord. Save my soul. Have mercy on me. I come to surrender my life to you. I want to begin a brand new life in you, Lord. Brand new life. I want to begin a brand new life in you, O Lord. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. And brethren, those of us who are already sure of our salvation, will you please stretch your hands towards these people and pray for them. Intercede for them that the Almighty God, the Savior of mankind, will save their souls. That they will become brand new creatures in the Almighty God. Pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. Intercede for them for at least another 1 minute. Pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, my Lord. They've come to you now. Receive them. Forgive them. Bless them in your name. Be merciful. Be merciful. Be merciful. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. My Father and my God, I want to thank you for this, your children. Your word says that nobody can come to you except my Father draws him. Thank you for drawing these people. Thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Father, please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Wipe away all their sins with your blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Save their souls today and write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that from today they will live a life of purity, a life of holiness, a life that will show that they are true children of the living God in Jesus' name. Please uphold them to the end, Lord. And Lord, meet all their needs. And Father, I'm praying once again for everybody in the church this morning. Before they go out of here, give them an anniversary miracle.